Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A pay dispute cancels classes today for thousands of Durham Public School students. Is there a resolution in sight? We're live with what school officials are saying.
And there's rain and even a few thunderstorms back to our west. I'll show you when that rain arrives here and when it will be heaviest. An 11-year-old North Carolina boy who was reported missing weeks ago is now safe. Where he was located and who now faces charges in the case.
All classes are canceled in Durham today. The district says the entire transportation support staff, a group that's needed to get school buses running, called out of work. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. 70% of Durham students ride the bus to school. It will be a teacher work day, and after school activities are still happening. WRAL's Monica Casey is covering this story for us. Monica, where do things stand now?
Well, once again, after an hours-long board meeting, we have a short-term but not a long-term solution to this salary issue. Last Friday at their meeting, the board weighed two options. Last night, two more were presented to them from staff. Both of the two new options eliminate the third-party compensation study and give credit to employees for all outside experience. Both also give 15% raises on top of that. Option number four has February checks at the same rate as those higher numbers from October through early January. The board did not choose any of those options, but they did decide February pay will be at that same higher rate. Employees and parents who spoke at the meeting have concerns about what is next.
I'm not sure I can continue to work for a system that thinks only of itself and not the hard work, dedication, and well-being of its employees.
And before implementing anything, they should use every math teacher's motto, show me your work.
Also at last night's meeting, the district announced a new interim superintendent, Kati Moore. That name likely sounds familiar. She served as superintendent in Wake County from 2018 to 2023. Now, the Durham School Board has another meeting on February 22nd where they will take up this salary issue again. A lot of people hoping we can get some answers then. Renee?
Monica Casey reporting live from Durham. Thanks, Monica.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center at this hour, an NC State faculty committee meeting is happening. Members of that committee are considering whether a no-confidence vote should be taken against university leaders about the handling of Poe Hall, including Chancellor Randy Woodson. A Five on Your Side investigation confirmed 101 reports of cancer in people who worked or studied in that building, including at least 20 current faculty members. Now, GeoCentec consultants now conducting tests on Poe Hall. An initial report is out, but a lot more testing is in the works. Whatever happens with that NC State faculty committee meeting, it's largely symbolic since the university faculty does not have the authority to remove university leaders from office. Now, the vote will be held online. The committee will collect responses throughout the weekend. We would likely have results sometime Monday. Count on WRAL as we keep you updated about this story.
Thanks, Ken. Our gray skies will likely last into early next week with rain on and off. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the bulk of that rain will fall.
It's likely to be Sunday and Monday that we'll see the heaviest rain, but we are seeing some showers back to the west across parts of Tennessee, the Deep South, even here in South Carolina and western North Carolina. That is likely to push across our area, but it's going to be very light in nature today and tomorrow. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar, and just now we're starting to see a few isolated showers back to the west. The computer models were advertising some of these showers, but they've been very slow to materialize. And look what happens. As that's moving into our viewing area, it's also fizzling out. So we had a little light shower in the northern part of Moore County, moving into Lee County, but that is fizzling out. Other than that, it is dry. We'll take a look at Futurecast. You can see that band of showers moving in and fizzling out, just like it's exactly happening. We might see a few thin spots in the clouds. This newer run of the computer model shows the potential for a little sun trying to peek through this afternoon, and that should warm us nicely into the 60s. We'll be seeing an isolated shower or two overnight and into early tomorrow. And it won't be until tomorrow evening that we really start to see that rain picking up, and then it will be heavier Sunday and especially into Monday. Our temperatures this afternoon likely to be on the mild side in the low 60s, and then we only drop into the mid-50s overnight, so it'll be a mild night. This is a look at our rain chances as we get into the day Saturday. During the day, it'll be isolated until we get to late afternoon and evening. We'll see a wave of rain coming through Sunday showers, and then Monday looks like it will be heaviest. I'll show you how much rain we could see total through the weekend and what the timeline will be coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Today is the deadline to get your voter registration in the mail for the upcoming primary election. If you miss this one, you do have one more option to be able to cast your ballot. WRL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live in studio to explain how. Laura?
Jeff, today is the deadline for regular voter registration forms. You can either take it to your county board of elections in person, or you can drop it in the mail. It just has to be postmarked by today. North Carolina does not allow you to register online. You have to sign the form in ink, but you can download the form at the State Board of Elections website. You can just print it out and fill it out. You can also find the address there for your county board of elections where you need to mail the form. The site you need is NCSBE, that's North Carolina State Board of Elections.gov. However, if you miss the deadline today, you are not out of luck. North Carolina has what's called same-day registration during early voting. If you want to use that, you'll need to bring a photo ID and proof of your current address. You can do that at any time during the early voting period, which runs from next Thursday, the 15th, through Saturday, March 2nd at 3 p.m. You can also use same-day registration to update your registration if you've moved since the last time you voted. Now, if you're new to North Carolina, as we know a lot of folks are, you can vote in our primaries even if you're not affiliated with a party. It's what's known as an open primary system. So registered Democrats and Republicans have to vote in their own party's primary, but if you're an unaffiliated voter, you can choose one or the other. Jeff?
Important info. Thanks for explaining it, Laura Leslie, for us this noon. Thank you.
Three men arrested at RDU last night and accused of trafficking marijuana are in court this afternoon. WRL's Shelley Jackson explains what happened over by the baggage claim area.
The arrest happened at RDU's baggage claim just after 6 a.m. You can see a man face down here on the floor, surrounded by law enforcement officers. The three suspects, Austin Butler, Anthony Cummings, and Brandon Brown, flew into Raleigh from Las Vegas. Butler and Cummings are from North Carolina. Brown is from Tennessee. The direct flight from Vegas landed around 6 a.m., and RDU confirmed several law enforcement agencies started moving into place as early as 2. This video was shared by a woman on the same flight as the men. She saw them at baggage claim.
They were looking around them. They were acting suspicious. And we just kept our eye on them. We even made a comment to each other like, what is going on over there? They lifted 2 big luggage suitcases off of the carousel, and they were completely empty.
According to court documents, the men were trafficking 121 pounds of marijuana. Butler and Cummings are scheduled to appear in a Wake County courtroom this afternoon. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
We now know the name of the man who was shot to death in Durham yesterday morning. Sky 5 flew over the scene as officers searched for evidence. Police found LaRon Allen in the 4500 block of Denfield Street shortly before 7 in the morning. EMS personnel pronounced Allen dead. No one is in custody at this time. Call police if you can help.
Today, a Franklin County kennel owner facing animal cruelty charges had a short first court appearance. Anne Marie Green is facing 6 felony and 10 misdemeanor charges. She's the owner of Green Meadow Kennels in Youngsville. Among her charges, she's accused of intentionally tormenting and depriving more than 20 dogs of necessary sustenance. North Carolina Department of Agriculture has also served Green's kennel a civil penalty for operating without a license. A man and a juvenile are in custody after 2 homes in Raleigh were hit by bullets and then a high-speed chase ensued. 2 homes hit by bullets. One of the homes was hit in Camden Street in the downtown area, the other off of Raleigh Boulevard. Shootings happened around 9:45 and 10 o'clock last night. Police say the people inside those homes were not the target and no one was hurt. Just before 1 this morning, officers tried to stop a truck for speeding on Capitol Boulevard. The driver took off, going over 100 miles an hour in city limits, 45 mile per hour zone. Officers followed the driver on the Beltline and US 1 past Apex into Chatham County, where the driver finally pulled over.
A missing 11-year-old boy from the coast has been found safe in Orange County. His mother is now in jail. WRL's Noah Klein is here now with what authorities say happened.
Renee, multiple departments worked on this investigation to find Andre Amon Thompson Jr. Investigators in Southport here announced within just the last week they were searching for him. Then, as we zoom this map out, we'll tell you that where this story ended. New in just the last 24 hours, Orange County authorities and the FBI found the boy with his mother, Dreema Ferguson, about 200 miles away from the coast here in Hillsboro. Investigators arrested Ferguson and served her with a warrant for child abduction. Police say Ferguson doesn't have legal custody of her son. She's currently in custody in Durham County. Andre is with the Department of Social Services. The assistant police chief in Southport says finding Andre safe was the best possible outcome in this case.
Feeling that he's home safe, in custody, and he's protected, and hopefully they can come to some conclusion with their issues.
This was the third time he had been reported missing. Durham police reported him missing two times in 2014. He wasn't found last time until this past August in Southport. Renee?
Glad they were able to find him again. Noah Klein, thank you.
The Method community in Raleigh sits right between Western Boulevard and Hillsboro. Back in 1872, men and women freed from slavery bought land in that community, and they built homes and churches on about 70 acres of land. The area once housed the largest African-American high school in North Carolina. Tonight, we'll introduce you to those who are dedicated to persevering and preserving that community's history.
Our ancestors are telling us, you have to be here because no one else is going to do it to tell the story.
Find out how the Method community fought to keep its history alive at 5:55 tonight on WREL as we celebrate Black history.
Next at noon, thousands of people still cannot go home 6 months after the Maui wildfires, where they are living, and the struggles they face to rebuild.
Also, we are swiftly moving toward kickoff of the Super Bowl. What to expect before, during, and at halftime for the big game.
Plus, a weekend closure of a major stretch of road in Durham at 12:30. What this means for people who use the Durham Freeway.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
It's been 6 months now since the devastating fires in Maui, and thousands of people remain out of their homes. Many of those folks are still facing hurdles when it comes to housing and rebuilding their homes. Housing evacuees has been a constant challenge, and the wildfire on Maui killed 100 people and displaced 10,000 residents. Nearly 5,000 of them are still living in hotel rooms. According to the Red Cross, only a third of households who sought emergency shelter have moved into homes.
Sylvester Stallone reflects on the first time he met Carl Weathers during his audition for Apollo Creed in the first Rocky movie.
Oh, he had charm. He had heart, he had soul. So I was stunned when it happened. I was like crushed. I didn't think he would ever die. You know, he's like Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I look back now with fond memories because it's never going to happen. You know what happens? You have those seminal moments, those crossroads. Yep. It's like
a certain chemistry on certain things. Just,
it's impossible to duplicate.
Carl Weathers died February 1st at age 76. Stallone wrote a message on social media that read in part, "Rest in power and keep punching." You can watch Stallone's entire interview today at 2 on The Kelly Clarkson Show right here on WREL.
Now to our countdown to the Super Bowl. In football terms, you could say we are officially in the red zone right now, just 2 days away from kickoff in Las Vegas between the Chiefs and the 49ers. Kaylee Hartung has the details about the pregame show, highly anticipated halftime show, and of course the Taylor-Kelce effect.
With just 48 hours until kickoff, the 49ers and Chiefs putting in their final hours of work.
It's chaos, man. It's a lot of fun, a lot of energy at practices.
And now, R&B star Usher has entered the chat.
Definitely has been a challenge to squeeze 30 years into 13 minutes.
Teasing the celebration of his music career during the Super Bowl 58 halftime show. The 8-time Grammy winner, tight-lipped about the details of his set, but hinting at who could join him on stage to surprise the millions watching.
I think I made it easy for myself when I decided to have, like, features on songs that became hit records.
From Alicia Keys and Nicki Minaj to Lil Jon and Justin Bieber, Usher's history of high-profile collaborators and his generational hits, leaving fans guessing.
Usher Super Bowl predictions. Let's go.
Let's get it.
The pregame ceremony, tapping country legend Reba McEntire to sing the national anthem.
I prepare by being prepared. I've been singing the national anthem in the shower.
While rapper Post Malone will perform America the Beautiful. Then there's Taylor Swift. A source close to the couple confirms the pop star will be at the big game to cheer on boyfriend Travis Kelce.
Who'd have thought we'd see a year when Taylor Swift went to more playoff games than Bill Belichick?
Overnight, Las Vegas pulled out all the stops for NFL honors. Even a surprise appearance from Prince Harry, presenting an award just a day after traveling back from London to visit his father.
I really love how you stole rugby from us and you made it your own. All kidding aside, what you guys do on and off the field is truly remarkable.
Prince freaking Harry.
Lamar Jackson.
And Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was named league MVP for the second time.
My team is a team thing, you know, for these awards.
Now the countdown is on to the final hours in the pursuit of the NFL's biggest prize.
That was Kaylee Hartung reporting. The Pro Football Hall of Fame Class of 2024 includes a name very familiar to local sports fans. Julius Peppers was announced as a first ballot Hall of Famer at last night's NFL Honors show. The Bailey native was a two-sport star at Carolina before joining the Carolina Panthers. He's the only player in NFL history to have more than 100 sacks and at least 10 interceptions in his career. Former NC State great Torrey Holt's name was not called among the new class of inductees. Holt has been a Hall of Fame finalist 5 straight years. He said on numerous occasions that he believes he has done enough to be a Hall of Famer.
Immortalized in bronze, the Los Angeles Lakers unveiled a statue Thursday night honoring the late superstar Kobe Bryant 4 years after his death.
Leave the game better than you found it. And when it comes time for you to leave, leave a legend. And that he did.
Well, look at that. During the ceremony, Bryant's widow, Vanessa, announced the statue is the first of 3 that will be created to honor the top scorer in Lakers history. The 19-foot bronze statue depicts Kobe wearing his number 8 jersey as he walked off the court following his 81-point performance in 2006. The other statue will feature Bryant in his number 24 jersey, and the third will depict him and his daughter, Gianna, who died in the helicopter crash with 7 others. An amazing statue right there. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Things are moving. We're on radar right now. We're waiting for some of that rain to blow through.
We're not likely to see very much of it today. We have had a little bit back to the west from Charlotte up toward High Point in Greensboro, but it seems like every time it tries to move into our viewing area, it's falling apart. It's certainly possible that we would have a sprinkle or two as we get into the afternoon or even overnight tonight, especially up near the Virginia line. But what we see today is probably not even going to be enough to measure in the rain gauges. So a sprinkle here or there. We had a little shower that tried to move into Moore County and Lee County, already fizzled out. We have a fairly dry air mass over us right now, but over the next 12 hours or so, that air mass will moisten up more. So as we get into tomorrow, we'll have, again, a chance of an isolated shower. The chances really start to pick up as we get into the day on Sunday and especially Monday. Here's a look at that little band that tried to creep through here just a little while ago. It fizzled out. This is 5 o'clock with nothing really showing up on Futurecast. It does show some thin spots in the clouds. We've got a pretty thick overcast right now. I'm not so sure that we're going to see any sunshine between now and maybe Tuesday afternoon, but Futurecast kind of hinting at that. That's going to be 10 p.m. We'll pause it Saturday at 10 a.m. Much of Saturday is likely to be dry. And again, a few thin spots show up here and there. This is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we potentially have a band of rain that will come through. It's not likely that we'll see thunderstorms here. If we're going to see any storms, it would be more likely on Monday with a front lifting up across our area. But you can see Futurecast shows this in a 6 o'clock right here in the Triangle area, and it zips out of here very quickly. If you happen to be out around, say, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, and that moves through, it's probably only going to be over you for 30 minutes or so, but it is right during the time that folks may be tempted to do a little tailgating at the Hurricanes game. So timing on that's not good. Sunday morning, we start off with some rain from the Triangle area northward. It stays there through lunchtime and then kind of fizzles out during the afternoon. So if you do have evening plans on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say, it's looking a little clear. Of course, a lot of folks may be out at Super Bowl parties, and we're going to talk more about Monday when the rain could be heavier in just a little while. This is a live look at Lake Gaston, looking very gray out there, 53 degrees, a little on the cool side. We should see temperatures climbing on up into the low 60s this afternoon, but we're solidly in the mid-50s across the area right now. 62 for the high in Raleigh, 61 Durham, 64 in Fayetteville, and our weekend outlook, of course, a warm day on Saturday. We may have a little bit of that rain just briefly during the evening, 73, and then 64 on Sunday with rain in the morning, and it looks like it may be a bit drier for the late afternoon and evening, just in time for you to get out and head to your Super Bowl party. Tomorrow's high, 73, but the record was 75 set just last year in 23. In Fayetteville, looking at 80 for the record, and the high tomorrow is 74. So we may come close to it at RDU, but in Fayetteville, we're probably not going to hit that record. Of course, I mentioned Saturday, we do have a Hurricanes game. If you're going to be out tailgating, the temperatures are going to be very pleasant near 70 degrees as you may be out there. But again, we're going to have that quick little band of rain that moves through by 7 or 8 o'clock. It's out of there. You won't see it as you're headed out of the arena. Sunday, 80%, 90% on Monday, but then it all clears out just in time for Valentine's Day. It should be beautiful with some sunshine. But temperatures at that point will likely be much closer to normal. Highs back into the 50s, lows in the 30s. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Monday, which could be a very messy day, especially as you're heading out the door.
Coming up today on WRL News at 5, between Western Boulevard and Hillsborough Street in Raleigh lies the Method Community, established back in 1872 by men and women freed from slavery. We'll introduce you to those who are dedicated to preserving the community's history.
Then coming up at 6, how a flood-prone historic site on the North Carolina coast is living with rising water rather than trying to fight it. 2 million handheld clothing steamers are under recall right now and still to come this noon. We'll explain how nearly a dozen people have been burned by that and hurt.
And it's Super Bowl weekend. What is America's favorite game day snack? Find out what one new survey says.
The FCC is banning robocalls that use AI-generated voices. The ruling gives state attorneys general the power to take action against callers using AI voice cloning technology for non-emergency purposes without prior consent. Scrutiny of all AI voices in robocalls has ramped up recently. Last month, some people in New Hampshire got calls that appeared to use AI to impersonate President Biden's voice, telling them not to show up at the polls for the state's primary.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission is recalling about 2 million hand steamers that could pose a burn risk. The agency says the product could spray hot water where the steam is supposed to come out. The steamers were sold under the brand names Steamfast, Bornado, and Sharper Image. There have been nearly 24 reports of burns. The steamers were sold at retailers such as Walmart, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Amazon. Stop using these immediately and contact Vornado for a full refund or replacement. New data reveals which snacks Super Bowl fans enjoy the most during the big game. According to Instacart's Snack Time report, tortilla chips took the number one spot as the favorite snack. Cola, cheese blend, salsa, and pretzels finished out the top five, respectively. 58% of the survey participants say scoop-style tortilla chips are their favorite type.
An elementary school teacher in Charlotte is drawing national attention for her creative approach to teaching kids financial literacy. Shelby Lattimore has her students earn Miss Lattimore bucks in her third grade math class. Now, they get those bucks for working jobs like holding the door for others or helping her with tasks. They can spend the bucks on treats, but there's more. She also charges them rent for their desks and chairs and fines them for late homework or talking in class. Her videos about this mini economy have gone viral with more than 30 million likes on TikTok.
I really see a lot of adults saying like they wish they would have learned this before, you know, it's actually real life.
No, so what am I going to do?
Lattimore says a lot of teachers have expressed interest in wanting to do the same thing, so she is making a program so that others can follow it.
President Biden will not face charges over his handling of classified documents, but he pushed back on one element of the special counsel's report.
I know there's some attention paid to some language in the report about my recollection of events. There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that?
More on the findings of the investigation and the differences laid out between the president's case and Trump's case. Plus, a new warning for pregnant women coming up, the harmful chemical new research says can be passed from mother to baby. Here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
At the White House last night, President Biden addressed a stunning special counsel report that cleared him of any legal charges for mishandling classified documents. But Peter Alexander reports it also raised concerns about the commander-in-chief's memory heading into a critical election.
President Biden, angry and defiant.
My memory is fine.
In a hastily called evening news conference, the president responding directly to special counsel Robert Hur's report on his handling of classified documents.
On the document
that included a blistering assessment of the 81-year-old's age and what the report called his diminished faculties in advancing age. The president slamming Hur's assessment that he did not remember when his son Beau died.
How in the hell dare he raise that? I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away.
The remarks coming hours after the special counsel said our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency, but said no criminal charges are warranted in this matter, adding that a jury would likely see the president as a sympathetic, well-meaning, and elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing.
Moments later, the president confusing Mexico and Egypt, you know, when talking about the crisis in Gaza.
The president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in.
The special counsel said Mr. Biden kept documents about Afghanistan marked classified and notebooks with handwritten entries implicating intelligence sources and methods.
These assertions are not only misleading, they're just plain wrong.
Prosecutors say these photos show classified documents improperly stored in a badly damaged box near a collapsed dog crate in the president's Delaware garage. A separate special counsel is investigating former President Trump's alleged mishandling of classified information found at his Mar-a-Lago estate. Mr. Trump, who has pleaded not guilty to 40 federal criminal counts, blasting the lack of charges against President Biden, calling it a two-tiered system of justice. But the Hur report says there are clear differences, saying Mr. Biden alerted authorities about the documents and cooperated with the investigation, while Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite, enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it.
Former President Trump coasted to victory in Nevada's Republican caucuses. The outcome was basically guaranteed because he was the only major candidate on the ballot. His GOP rival, Nikki Haley, opted to skip the caucuses months ago. During Trump's victory speech at campaign headquarters in Las Vegas last night, Trump congratulated none of the above, a reference to Haley's embarrassing loss in which none of these candidates beat her 2-1 in the Nevada primary.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, Durham police asking for the public's help in regarding a 2021 homicide investigation. Take a look at your screen. This is video from that scene from November 2021 when officers found 31-year-old Jamal Coltrane shot in a car in the 2600 block of Highway 55. Now, Coltrane was pronounced dead at that scene. That same night, police say several people broke into Coltrane's storage unit near the intersection of Highway 55 and Cornwallis Road. Two dirt bikes and other items were stolen. Now, police don't know if the same person responsible for the storage robbery is also responsible for the homicide involving Jamal Coltrane. If you have any information, you're encouraged to call Durham Police.
Be ready for possible backups along Highway 147 this weekend. WRL's Brian Schrader tells us where people will need to use extra caution.
Get ready for a weekend closure on Alston Avenue near downtown Durham. It's going to be closed from Anger Avenue to the 147 interchange beginning at 9 o'clock tonight. And that closure includes the ramps to and from southbound 147 leaving downtown Durham. Everything will reopen in time for Monday morning's commute. Use Briggs Avenue and Fayetteville Street as alternate routes. Also, beginning tonight at 9 o'clock, the ramp from 147 northbound onto Alston Avenue is going to close for a couple of weeks. The detour they have set up will take you to Fayetteville Street and then to Main Street. From there, you can head back to Alston Avenue. And be sure to join us Monday morning as we track your morning commute on WRAL News.
Tonight, the city of Raleigh will hold the final forum of the week to give people a chance to learn about the plans for an alternative response program. It'll start at 6 o'clock at the Rock Quarry YMCA. The new program would involve more social workers and peer support and help connect people to mental health professionals. Program with leaders say it also reduces the stigma of police and builds community trust.
North Carolina education and business leaders are teaming up to help get more workforce education in K through 12 schools. A new toolkit aims to help North Carolina businesses offer more hands-on learning for students. State and Chamber of Commerce leaders say businesses want to be more involved in workforce education at the K through 12 level, but they often don't know how. Those businesses include healthcare, manufacturing, and technology companies. This is the latest push to better prepare kids for life after high school. You can find out more about what business and education leaders are doing on the education section at WRAL.com.
Troubling new data about the safety of black women in the U.S.
They're much more likely to die violently than white women. Coming up, what a study reveals about the possible reasons.
Also ahead, keeping your Super Bowl snacks safe and sanitary. The one thing you and your guests should never do when chowing down for the game.
Welcome back. Lots of cloud cover out there. Those cloudy skies will stick with us all the way through early next week. We'll miss the sunshine. You're watching WRAL News with this live look at Fayetteville and available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. A new study found black women ages 25 to 44 are six times more likely to be victims of homicide than white women in the same age range. The lead researcher says violent deaths for black women were higher in areas where inner city investments were minimal. Wisconsin was the state with the greatest racial disparity for female homicide rates. The findings are based on CDC data in 30 states from 1999 through 2020. A new study says pregnant women should avoid fast food, and not just because of the high sodium levels, calories, and fat content. The study says chemicals called phthalates could leach out from wrappers, plastic gloves, and packaging. Those chemicals may pose health risks to fetuses. Researchers say the chemicals could go across the placenta and then enter the baby's bloodstream.
For a lot of folks, Super Bowl Sunday means supersized amounts of tasty food. But with football's biggest night lasting several hours, it is not uncommon for people to leave their pizza, subs, wings, and dip out for the whole game. It's a long time. Food safety experts remind people keep hot foods hot and cold foods cold, leave nothing out for too long, and of course, no double dipping.
Double dipping a chip will spread the bacteria from the mouth to the dip and then potentially from that dip to another person.
When preparing foods, it's important to avoid cross-contamination. For example, don't carve raw chicken on a cutting board and then prepare a salad on it without washing the board thoroughly first. One group of football fans has gone to every single Super Bowl since 1967. Find out how much longer they hope to keep this tradition going.
And later, a strange glow over one Texas city. Find out what's turning El Paso purple.
Welcome back this noon. All across the country, important discussions about diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice, and racial equity are taking place. And this year, the United Way is bringing back the 21-day Racial Equity Challenge. Joining us to talk about this self-guided challenge, I love that, Crystal Wilson. Thank you so much, Chief Outreach Officer for United Way. Appreciate the time energy putting into this program, right? Yeah. How did this all get started, this event?
Oh my gosh, so it's a team effect, I will tell you. It's our collaboration of our team that's fed through. And Allison Cobb, I'm going to do a shout out to her right now. curating the content. Mm-hmm. So our mission is to invest in community-driven solutions that advance racial and economic justice. And so the ability to say, oh my gosh, from the beginning of the pandemic until now, we put $25 million on the streets to nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We're convening people in this space for this equity challenge. So they're able to see how they can participate, right? Like, what can they do and what can they see? So we're trying to have a theme today, celebrate Black joy. Having real conversations, being intentional on race, privilege, and power, and how that can be a part of our everyday life.
I love the theme, okay, celebrating Black joy. And it's open to everyone.
It's open to everyone. All you have to do is go on our website, unitedwaytriangle.org, mm-hmm. to sign up. And what it looks like is that there'll be 3 days throughout the week that you're getting articles, playlists, content, videos, self-guided. So you can look at it and engage as you see fit. And then you have an area to have dialogue with other people who are a part of the same challenge. Okay. To discuss things that are concerning.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. You are with others. They're in the space with you. So
when they get in there and get into this, is it intimidating? What are they going to find?
So what they will find, and what I am excited about, is that they will have this curated content that will actually have them read through a scenario, mm-hmm. and then they will actually analyze and ask themselves some questions. Mm-hmm. Like, what does this mean to you? They have an opportunity to engage in a virtual space to then dialogue about some of those responses.
Look inward and also express outward to some others in there. So that makes it a little community.
That does. That is. And it's truly for our local community to be able to feel like, even though you can't meet face to face, we're in a space where we can engage with one another and talk about real issues that impact and matter within mm-hmm. our local community.
Any fee for it? How can people join?
Absolutely free. Okay. Absolutely free. And it's for you, friends, coworkers, family, whomever that you see fit. And all you have to do is sign up on our website.
Well, so, Crystal, thank you so much. If it's free, it's for me. That's why I always say.
So I love it.
I appreciate it. Good luck. Starts Monday.
Monday, and it goes till March the 1st.
All right. Easy couple of weeks there. Crystal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so wonderful that they're bringing the challenge back again this year. I was able to do that 2 years ago, and I learned so much. It was very thought-provoking, and it was quite the journey. All right, we got gray skies all across the viewing area. No sunshine to be found. Elizabeth's kind of dampening our Friday vibes here.
It is. Temperatures are, on the warm-ish side. Yeah. We're going to climb up to around 60 this afternoon, so I guess it could be worse. And it's not pouring down rain, but boy, that's coming a little bit later on in the weekend. We take a live look at Goldsboro and Fayetteville. There's our newsroom and Apex here down Salem Street, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We take a look at the big picture again. A bunch of thunderstorms have popped up over here northeast of Memphis there in West Tennessee. We're not likely to see any thunderstorms here. As a matter of fact, anything that we see today is going to be very light and patchy. But eventually, this low that you can see way over here on the left side of your screen is going to come swinging through. That's going to start to bring us a better chance for rain on Sunday and an even better chance on Monday. We'll walk through all of that. A little sprinkle there, moving past Greensboro over toward Hillsboro over here, right north of that D. Everything that's come our way has fizzled out. So again, a light shower, a tiny sprinkle, that's really all that we'll end up seeing today. Notice at 5 o'clock, it looks like the clouds try to thin out. It's possible that we would see a little sunshine, but I think as soon as we saw that sun out, the clouds would probably fill back in pretty quickly. We'll move it on out to 10 o'clock, looking pretty quiet for us. First thing Saturday morning, we're looking at some rain. The new version of Futurecast is really pretty light on the rain. It looks like by the time we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, we have a quick band of rain that moves through. It's out of here by 7. So it's going to move across the viewing area very quickly. And that's really all the rain that we'll end up seeing on Saturday. We'll move it ahead and check out Sunday. Sunday morning at 8 a.m., we're seeing some showers, but it also looks like it's going to be with us just for a while. Once we get into the middle of the afternoon, it starts to fizzle out too. So if you do have outdoor plans on Sunday, the afternoon looks a little drier than the morning does. I know a lot of folks may be out and about, headed to a Super Bowl party. It looks like late afternoon, it should be fairly dry. This is a look at Saturday at 10 p.m. Futurecast showing that rain moving in Sunday. And then it does, this version of Futurecast holds that rain around a little longer for us. But it really looks like it's Monday that's going to bring us the steadiest, heaviest rain, possibly even a few thunderstorms with this front coming through after lunchtime on Monday. And then gradually we see some clearing behind it, and we'll likely be back to some sunshine on Tuesday. But it's going to be, probably not in until then, we see any sunshine. We'll likely cool off behind that on Tuesday as well. How much rainfall between now and Sunday? We could see anywhere from half an inch to an inch, but then we may add another inch to it on Monday. And so all total, looking at anywhere from an inch in the south to as much as 2 inches in the north. That's what we're looking at in terms of our rain. Back to Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to see fairly dry conditions during the evening. Temperatures will be in the 50s. We left a 20 to 30% chance on there just to kind of cover the bases. Tuesday looks dry. So does Wednesday for Valentine's Day, and highs are closer to normal. Looking at Valentine's Day at 58.
There's something unique. When you take it, when we're die and we're gone, the streak will be broken.
Early, early days.
Three friends are keeping a very unique streak going, despite living in three different states. How the love of football has strengthened their bond.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. All classes have been canceled at Durham Public Schools after the entire transportation support staff called out of work. School board members met last night and appointed Caddy Moore, the former superintendent for Wake County's public school system, to serve as interim superintendent in Durham. This comes after former superintendent Pascal Mubenga resigned Wednesday amid the ongoing pay controversy.
We now know the name of the man who was shot to death in Durham yesterday morning. Police found LaRon Allen in the 4500 block of Denfield Street shortly before 7 a.m. EMS personnel pronounced Allen dead. So far, no arrests.
Today's the deadline to get your voter registration in the mail for the upcoming primary election. But if you miss this one, you do have one more option to be able to cast your ballot. North Carolina has what's called same-day registration during early voting. If you want to use that, you'll need to bring a photo ID and proof of your current address. Early voting starts next Thursday and runs through Saturday, March 2nd.
Forget about following the yellow brick road. Some streets in El Paso, Texas are illuminated purple. A coating over the light bulb itself eventually burned off, giving off that hazy purple color. The LED lights are part of a nationwide defective batch. But the good news is that the lights are under warranty. So people there will have to wait another 2 to 3 years before the street lights are replaced with white ones.
Three friends are headed to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. And you ask, why is that a big deal? Because they've attended every single Super Bowl. The Never Miss a Super Bowl Club has scored tickets to all of the big showdowns. The friends say they know this can't last forever, but they'll keep it going as long as their health is good.
And we thought, you know, if we could make the first 10, then we thought, well, maybe we'll go for 20. And 25, that seemed, you know, crazy. And here we are now at almost 60. I even have trouble believing it. Does that make any sense?
Early days.
The three friends say they hope all of them can make it together at least as far as to get to Super Bowl 60. So they got a couple more to go.
Yes, but I hope so.
1967, they started with Super Bowl I and have gone to every one ever since. That's an incredible streak.
That is so awesome. Never missed a Super Bowl club. I've never gone to a Super Bowl club. I'm in that club.
I'd like to know the total price tag of what they have paid over the years. For